It's just gone 13 minutes to 8. You are listening to Sabah on Muslim and Radio Islam International. Yesterday, the vice chairperson of the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol says she is not ruling out a criminal referral against former President Donald Trump, saying a man as dangerous as him can never be anywhere near the Oval Office ever again. This was after the former president was accused of trying to mount a coup by the U.S. Congressional Committee investigating the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th last year. Now, joining us on the line, we have independent political analyst and researcher with a keen interest in U.S. politics, Dr. Dale McKinley. And we are also still trying to get hold of Professor Scott Lucas, who was supposed to have joined us for this discussion. But we'll commence nonetheless. Dale, a very good morning to you and welcome to Radio Islam International. Dr. McKinley, can you hear me? Good morning. Okay. It seems like the studio operators got it mixed up. It's the other way around. Dr. Dale McKinley is not with us. Professor Scott Lucas is with us. Scott, a very good morning. Welcome.
That's a very good morning. Good to be with you.
Right. So the hearings until last week was missing a witness who could provide a first-hand account until Cassidy Hutchinson, a former top aide to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, began filling the blanks. Fill in our listeners, what was her testimony and what was the impact of her testimony?
Well, Cassidy Hutchinson, who of course was a senior aide to Donald Trump's chief of staff, was well placed to see what was happening on January the 6th. And so what she effectively said is that Donald Trump, who gave a speech outside the White House that day, telling his supporters to march on the Capitol and to block the congressional confirmation of President-elect Joe Biden, you know, Trump was not only whipping up the crowd, Trump actually wanted to go to the Capitol to lead what, in effect, had become an attack, you know, on our building, our seat of government. He got into his presidential limousine called the Beast, assuming he'd be taken to the Capitol when the Secret Service agent said, "No, Mr. President, it's not secure. We're taking you back to the White House." Trump reached over the seat, tried to grab the steering wheel. When the Secret Service agent grabbed his arm to prevent him from taking control of the vehicle, Trump then tried to effectively assault the Secret Service agent by trying to grab him around the collarbone. But beyond that, what Hutchinson said was not just that single incident. What she said is this was a pattern of behavior which fit an attempt by Trump, by his senior advisors like Mark Meadows, by his lawyers Rudy Giuliani, to actually prevent Biden from becoming president, in essence, a coup, and that this had been planned for weeks, and that, you know, up until the previous evening, there were calls involving Trump and his senior officials about how they would get that crowd down to the Capitol if Vice President Mike Pence didn't step in to block the congressional certification.
Dr. McKinley, good morning and welcome to the program and to the discussion.
Yes, good morning to your listeners, as always.
Right, so what do you make of how Trump has responded to Hutchinson's testimony? He's rubbished it, and there are indications from his camp that there are Secret Service agents who would be willing to testify that he did not grab an agent around the waist to try and grab the wheel and get himself to the hill, as they say.
Well, when it comes to Trump, anything is possible. I mean, we're not dealing with a rational individual, and we're dealing with somebody whose worldview is simply through his own lens. So whatever he said, he'll probably say the opposite. If there's something that is there that's obviously putting him in a bad light, which of course Hutchinson's testimony was, he'll contest it. I mean, this is who Trump is all about. So I think, you know, Trump's responses are simply going to be about how best can he, whether it's an early presidential bid or whatever he does, it's whether he can change the narrative, whether he can continue to push his conspiracy theories about a stolen election, and how it'll serve his own potential re-election bid, and those who he supports within the Republican Party who are contesting primaries and going to contest the midterm elections. It's for Trump. It's all about power. It's all about his individual ego. It's all about him. And so everything that, as I said, everything that he responds again, whether it's this testimony or a whole range of other testimonies that come out of the committee related to his behavior, and his attempt to basically overthrow the democratically elected government of the United States is going to be seen through that lens. And it's quite frustrating in many ways that we're going to have to probably over the next many months and year repeat exactly the same kinds of conversations and analysis that we did in the run-up to the previous elections with a man who is, constantly just wanting everything to be about himself.
Mm. Now, Scott, there have been reports, about witnesses participating in the hearing, receiving messages seeking to influence their testimony, and that several Republican lawmakers, including Rudy Giuliani, are now asking for pardons relating to their involvement in the events of January the 6th. Is this pretty much them fingering Donald Trump now?
No, it's them trying to save their own skins. First of all, on the pardons, that story was told not only by Cassidy Hutchinson, it's been told by multiple witnesses to the committee that a whole series of people went to Trump and tried to get what, in effect, preemptive pardons. They hadn't been convicted of anything, of course, at that point. But Mark Meadows, the chief of staff for whom Hutchinson worked, Rudy Giuliani, the lawyer who was integral to pushing the false claims of a stolen election, they were among those who asked Trump for pardons. So did several Republican congressmen who were involved in the plot. And they could do that because Trump had already handed out pardons to a number of people who had meddled in the 2016 election, such as Michael Flynn, such as Roger Stone. On the other point that was raised, which was the question of, the wider question of how deep this went in terms of fingering Trump. What you really had was not just Trump, although we talk about him quite a bit. What you really had was an insurrection from within the Republican Party. This had happened in 2016 with the collaboration with the Russians. This had happened with Trump trying to cover up and obstruct justice for 4 years. And now it had happened where Trump was refusing to accept defeat, which I think raises the wider question as we go into 2024. And with Trump probably announcing his presidential bid sooner rather than later, will the Republican Party, or will part of the Republican Party, finally stand against Donald Trump? And I think they will. I think they will probably draw a line against Trump because even he is too toxic now. But they will then find someone who uses the tactics of Trump to try to further corrode the American system, which is why I'd be looking at a guy named the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, mm-hmm. who I think right now is probably the Trumpist best place to try to win in 2024.
Just a quick follow-up there, Scott. Did Giuliani and company get the pardons that they sought from Trump?
No, they didn't, because Trump was blocked effectively from providing the pardons for two reasons. First of all, the plan for Trump to hold onto the White House didn't work. You know, that's the immediate issue. Secondly, given how the attack backfired in the sense that you saw the marchers going through and threatening the execution, not just of legislators, but of Vice President Mike Pence, given the shock at what had happened, for Trump to have then pardoned those folks in the following 2 weeks while he was still president, even that's a line he couldn't have crossed.
Then, Dale, finally, in your opinion, what are Donald Trump's chances? Some reports suggesting that he's still the most popular Republican candidate. What does that say about the party? What does that say about those who keep him popular?
Well, it reminds me very much of what happened in our own country here in South Africa with regards to the Zuma presidency, when an individual completely repurposed the ruling party to suit his and his crew's sort of need and obviously thirst for power. And that's exactly what Trump is attempting to do. My prognostication would be I think it's going to be a contested attempt again to reassert his control of the Republican Party, or at least dominance of the Republican Party. I think that there is a growing opposition to him within the party and a growing realization that another bid for presidency by Trump could be a disaster for the Republicans on a number of levels, not just for Trump and for the presidency, but potentially if he, for example, announces an early midterm bid, could be really bad for them in terms of the midterm elections and take away a lot of their sort of talking points around the economy and other things like that. So, with Trump, it's always difficult to tell. Many prognosticators and pundits back in the day, 2016, were like, no, there's no way that this man would ever get elected. And then look what happened. And given what the Republicans have done in the intervening, 7-8 years, in terms of gerrymandering, redistricting, attempting to put voter suppression laws. We have to look at the other side of the coin. So it's not simply just about Trump, about Republicans. It's what the Republican Party has done, essentially pervert democracy and basically try to undermine and entrench minority rule. So if, even if it wasn't Trump, and if it was another Republican candidate, could have more or less the same kinds of outcomes and the same kinds of politics. And I think that's what's very worrying for a lot of people.
Dale and Scott, we thank you both for your time this morning. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Dale McKinley and Professor Scott Lucas talking to us about the congressional hearings into what happened on January 6th in the U.S.